All right, well, good evening again. You'll take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're looking at verse 6 now. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you pour out upon us. We thank you for those who were here this morning, and those who are here this evening, looking forward to spending this time in your word. I pray, Father, that you would draw us closer to you, our faith would increase. Pray that you would speak to each heart personally tonight as we look into your word, draw closer to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been looking at these things that Paul said back up in verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And now we're looking at for their fruit in the gospel. When it says, in all the world, the gospel was never intended for an exclusive group of people. Never intended for that. There's a lot of people who say, well, yeah, it's for this group, but not that. No, God said, whosoever. The gospel is for every human being. No one is excluded from that. He said, we need to take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature. Everybody needs to hear it. It's good news for the entire world, not just a certain group of people. Now we're going to look at some verses here. Look at Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's Jesus speaking that we're to do that. Then look over at chapter 28. This is a very familiar part of Scripture, 19 and 20 of Matthew 28, where he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Then Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, as I made mention of earlier. And then Romans 1:8. Romans 1:8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Drop down to verse 14, where he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And then verse 16, where he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then we have 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." It transcends all ethnic, geographic, cultural, and political boundaries. This gospel is for everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what status in life you have. As I mentioned today, this morning, every single lost person who's ended up in hell is on an even playing field. There's no different status in hell. They're lost. Without a Savior. When we get to heaven, those of us who are born again believers in Jesus Christ, we're all saved. That status of how much money do you have, what nice house you live in, what nice cars you drive, all that, it's all gone. Thank God that things become equal at that point. Fruit. This refers to the saving effect of gospel preaching and to the growth of the church. There should be fruit. Every time we talk about people being saved, how can we know? The Bible says you'll know from their fruit. Is there fruit? There's a lot of people who say, well, you're just judging people. I can look at their life and say, there is no fruit. If there's no fruit, it's an assumption still, but I'd say most of the time it's a safe assumption. If there's no fruit, they're probably not saved. People say, well, you can't say that because you can't see their heart. I said probably not saved. I didn't say they definitely weren't saved. I don't know that. I can't tell their heart. But we should know by their fruit if they are or if they aren't. This fruit, there should be a saving effect on people's lives. There should be fruit there. As I mentioned this morning, our son-in-law, there was a huge difference in his life as soon as we found out he got saved. Totally different person. In fact, I thought, where did this one come from? I mean, it's a totally different life. He's excited to be in church. He's excited to go to men's prayer meeting. He's excited to go to every single thing that the church has going on now. This is a change in his life. And praise the Lord, it is. Now, are there people that are saved that don't attend church regularly? Yes. There are. It's unfortunate, but yes, there are. We call them carnal Christians or backslidden Christians, because they don't want to be in the house of God when the doors are open. There's other people, talking to Brother David this afternoon, he said, it's really hard because I'm sick and I don't want to go and infect other people, but I also want to be in church. I said, I get that. God understands that. God also understands that you shouldn't infect the whole congregation so we're all sick, right? I mean, that makes sense, right? So I said, we know that you want to be here. You're not here because you don't want to be here. You're here because you shouldn't be here. There's a difference. There's some people that just get up and they go, well, I just don't want to be there, and go back to bed. I get up in the morning, Sunday morning, I say, it's church. It's Sunday. I get to go to church, right? It's a different attitude. There should be some fruit that shows that you're interested in the things of God. And look at Romans 1:13. Romans 1:13 says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. There should be fruit. Philippians, right before Colossians there, chapter 1 and verse 22. Where he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. And then Matthew chapter 13. Starting in verse 3, where it says, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then drop down to verses 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 13, 31 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The universal spread and effectiveness of the gospel verify the assertion in verse 5 that this is the truth. The Colossian heresy is merely local. While the gospel has come to the Colossians, it has gone beyond them in all the world. I like the fact that God said, take it to all the world, to all, every creature, make sure it gets out there. And so we have worldwide missions, right? We get to be a part of that. I like it when people come in and they look at the wall downstairs and they go, wow, you guys support a lot of missionaries. Yeah. By the grace of God. It's because of God. It's not because of us. I mean, you look at the group of people we have and you look around and you go, how is this group of people do this much missions work? On our own, we can't. But because of the grace of God, He has allowed us to have this ability to be able to send enough money to different missionaries, that the gospel is preached all over the world. And every time it is, and people come to know Christ as Savior, that's on our account. Because we've had a part in that work. Thank God for that. Thank God for the many missionaries who have been willing to go to distant lands, give up the comforts that they had here in this United States, and go to distant lands, and some of them have it not so nice. It's interesting when you hear about churches and their building, and they're in their building program, and they talk about how we don't have indoor plumbing. And I thought, I remember what that was like when we had to have the bathrooms tore out and we had the porta-potties in the back, right? And I thought, at least we still have running water in the kitchen, right? I mean, at least we had some running water in the building. But that was not fun. And I think they do that every day year round. And people walk miles each way to church to have no indoor plumbing. It's amazing. We are certainly spoiled here. It bringeth forth fruit. That is, when embraced by faith, the gospel produces godly character and noble conduct in its converts. This same gospel had been taught in all the known world of that time. Love is a fruit that was brought forth by their faith in Jesus. whenever this gospel is preached in all the world, it produces fruit. God says His word will not return void. It's preached, it goes out, and it touches hearts, and lives are changed because of it. We may not see people come and get saved all the time, but we have no idea how many lives have been touched by the preaching of the gospel. We have no idea how many people, since we have our website and these things get loaded onto the website, we have no idea how many people are listening to those. I know we have church members, when they're not here, they call me in or text me and say, I listened to the message from whatever day, and praise the Lord. You had that ability to do that because you couldn't be here. Not because, as so many I've heard over the years, live streaming services, I can stay home in my pajamas and watch live stream at home. I don't have to go to church. What do you do with God's command to be in church? See, it's gotten to the point where it's become an excuse not to go to church. God knew and made us social people. We need that interaction. You don't get that sitting in the living room watching TV. You get it by being a part of the membership of the church and fellowshipping. And so God knows that. But wherever the gospel is preached, it produces fruit. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 1 verse 11, it says, But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Definitely not after man. The good news of the gospel is not a man-made belief, but it comes from God Himself. Now, is there a lot of religion out there that's man-made? You bet there is. No shortage of it. Man-made religion all over the place out there. That's not of God. God's not in it. I've mentioned before that I had a pastor that pounded on the pulpit and he said, This is my church and I'm going to run it however I want. I went, Then it's not God's. Right? I mean, it's very obvious God's not going to compete. If it's your church, then it's not God's church. This is God's church. And I know we all go around, and I'm guilty of it too. I want you to come to my church, right? It's not my church, it's God's church. I just get to be a member here, be a part of it. But it's easy to say because that's kind of the language that we talk in. But this is God's church. If it's not, we have a big problem. And it needs to be corrected. This is God's church. Christianity is contagious. In the beginning, it spread very rapidly. Happened in part because of the many eyewitnesses to Jesus. People saw, right? They saw with their own eyes the miracles that Jesus did. Can you imagine standing at the tomb of Lazarus, and Lazarus has been dead, and he's in the tomb, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth? And I honestly believe if Jesus had just said, come forth, all the tombs would have opened up. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes walking out, and can you imagine the amazement? Wow. This guy really is spectacular. This guy truly must be God Himself. Who else could raise the dead just by speaking it? Can you imagine what that would be like? I tell you, if that happened today, people would deny it. They'd deny that it happened. They'd say it's all smoke and mirrors, that was a dead man in there, but then they replaced him with a live one, and the live one came walking out. And they'd go into the tomb and see that there's no other body in there, and they'd say, well, it must have escaped somewhere. They'd try and explain it all away. But to be an eyewitness would make some people a believer. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We see that many times thousands were saved in one day. Can you imagine what that'd be like? I still think of Jonah going through Nineveh and the whole place gets saved. I'm like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And Jonah has a pity party. I'm like, if this whole city got saved, I'd probably climb up on the rooftop and be singing Hallelujah Jesus. Wouldn't that be a marvelous thing to have an entire city saved? Yeah. Can you imagine how much better it would be if every single human being knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and lived according to the Word of God? Because there's a lot of saved people that aren't living the Word. And their life is not much different than lost people, other than they're going to heaven when they die and lost person isn't. But pretty much, other than that, there's not a whole lot of difference. We need to understand that the gospel, when it is preached, it goes out and it does change lives. There will be some that are under conviction and maybe under conviction for many years. We don't know that at some point in time their life will be changed because they realize what they're fighting against is what they really need. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I mean, I'd be like, hallelujah, Jesus, 3,000 people come to know the Lord and get baptized. 3,000 people that understood that as soon as they got saved, they needed to be baptized. I've had several that, well, I don't feel like it yet. Do you know I've never read in the Word of God that it says get baptized when you feel like it? I've never seen that. What he says is get saved and get baptized. I like it when, I've shared this before, when Brother Joe, Brother Moss was here for the revival meeting in 2012. Brother Joe came in and he sat right over here. After the service, at the invitation, he came forward and got saved. After the service, I thought, okay, now it's my job to go explain to him all about baptism and see if he wants to get baptized. So I walked over to him, and the first thing out of his mouth before I said a word is, how soon can I be baptized? I said, well, I could do it tonight if you like, but it's going to be ice-cold water coming out of the faucet. I said, or we could do it Sunday, and I'll have time to fill it and get it heated up and all. You choose. Of course, I was joking. I wouldn't want to put anybody in ice cold water, but he chose for letting it heat up. I said, yeah, I probably would too. We at least have a nice heater in there, and it warms to about 90 degrees. It's actually not bad. Paul is saying here that these people at Colossae have been very productive in bringing in new Christians ever since they heard the gospel themselves. Isn't that what should happen? We hear the gospel and we want to take it out and share it with others so that they too can have what we have. It's not a gospel that we're supposed to want to keep to ourselves. It's something we're supposed to want to go out and share with others that they too can have the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. They too then will want to go out and tell other people that they know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We should bring forth fruit when we get saved. And also, for their pastor in the church, look at verse 7 of Colossians chapter 1. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Epaphras evangelized the Colossians with the gospel and planted the church in their city. In describing Epaphras here in such glowing terms as our dear fellow servant and for you a faithful minister of Christ, Paul puts this apostolic stamp of approval on this saint's life, ministry, and gospel. Paul says, I approve of this one. This one was put here for a reason. I remember when Brother Fred was on the ordination council and all, but there were some people here, and they asked me the question, what if we don't recommend you to be ordained? And I wasn't trying to be flippant or anything, but the fact of the matter is, it didn't matter if the church called me or not, because God called me. God called me to preach. God's the one that ordained me to the ministry, basically. It was just, was the church going to recommend me through the ordination council, and then was the church going to approve that? But I already knew that God had. I wrestled with it long enough. I knew for sure that's what God wanted in my life. And it wasn't being flippant. It was just stating a fact that God has already called me. Sometimes people say, well, if you don't get past the ordination council, then you're not in the ministry, right? Well, God's the one that calls to the ministry. So I can see when people are doing it for filthy lucre. I can see that. Yes, you've got to weed out some of them. But if God's truly called the man, then God's put a stamp of approval on him already. Here, Paul's just saying, yes, I approve. Well, if God already called him, does it matter if Paul approved or not? Probably not really. But these people loved Paul, and they took what he said to heart, and if he said he approved him, then he should be approved, right? The implication, surely you will not forsake Epaphras' gospel and pastoral care in exchange for the doctrine of the local heretics, will you? Here's someone that I'm telling you is doing what's right. He's preaching the right word of God and all. You're not going to throw him aside for these heretics, are you? I've had a lot of people over the years, members of churches, tell me about this evangelist or that one on the TV, televangelist and all. And some of them I wouldn't give you the time of day for. And yet they talk about, in glowing terms, how wonderful they are and how great their ministry is and all. And I'm like, have you ever listened to them? They wouldn't know the gospel if it smacked them upside the head. They're preaching something that has nothing to do with the Word of God. And you guys are buying into this stuff? My first thought is, are you saved? Because can you be saved and listen to that and think that's okay? It's interesting what people will fall for, but he's basically saying, don't exchange what Epaphras is preaching, the true gospel, for what these heretics are sending out there. And didn't Jesus warn us about the false teachers? We need to be careful. They're here today still. It's not like it was just in Jesus' day on the earth. It's not like it's just been in years past. It's been throughout all history we've had the false teachers. And we're going to continue to have them while we're here. There are going to be those who want the preeminence. They want people to worship them instead of worshiping the Savior. Now we see that Epaphras was one of the ministers who had brought the truth of the gospel to the church here. Paul speaks highly of him, who had served with Paul on some of his missionary journeys. He had ministered here, being sent by Paul. He had worked with Paul, and the message was the same as Paul's. Paul is saying that Epaphras brings a true message of the gospel of Christ. It should be. If somebody is called of God, they should be preaching the true gospel, not anything that they want. And I've made it perfectly clear. If it's my opinion, I've made that perfectly clear. I've said at times, I can't back this up anywhere in Scripture, but from the Scriptures, I get this deduction. That's different than saying this is gospel. I think I can back it up with Scripture, but it's the long way home, so to speak. There's not a Scripture that specifically says that directly, but sometimes you can take the Scriptures and you can deduct from them and come up with an answer to whatever the question is. It's not saying, thus saith the Lord. It's saying, this is what I deduct from that, and I could be wrong. If it's opinion, we can be wrong. Everybody's got one. Most of them aren't worth anything, but we all have opinions. But the Word of God is what we need to stand on. And we need to be more people, more preachers, that are standing on the Word of God and preaching the true Word of God and not these false teachings that are out there. Epaphras was willing to bring the truth of the gospel to the people. That's what we need more of, the truth of the gospel. Look at verse 8 of Colossians chapter 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I did that wrong verse. 1:8. Where is 1:8? Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. I don't know how I got to the wrong verse there, sorry. So who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Your love in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit instilled and nurtured in the Colossian Christians an affection for others. This is something I've said over and over and over. We will have a love for others if we belong to Jesus Christ. It's a strange thing, to say the least. This love for others, and I could tell you, and I think I shared this here before, not 100% sure, but when we first came to the church in the fall of 2009, I told my wife when we left here, I said, I have a love for the people of this church that's different. I love the brethren. I've loved the people of the other churches I've been involved in, but this is different, and I don't understand it. This is bizarre to me. And then as God continued to work through things and all, and got me to the point where I became pastor of the church, it became totally clear why God gave me a love for the people of this church that was different than the love I have for people that are other believers in Christ. I couldn't explain it at the time. I can now, because now I know what God was working through. But it was different. I know when Mrs. Wright went home to be with the Lord just a month after I became pastor here. It was just the very next month. And I told my wife when we left the hospital, I said, I feel like I just lost a family member. And I remember telling her, I said, I think Brother Wes is handling this better than I am. I'm really having a difficult time with this. And I had known the lady, 2 years? I mean, it was like unreal what I was going through. And I had to preach that service. That was difficult. But it was a love that God gave me for the people of this church. It's different. It seems as though it was Epaphras who had told Paul of the great love of these people. Spirit here is speaking of the Holy Spirit. None of us know how to truly love until the Spirit comes and teaches us how to love. Man's love is because, God's love is in spite of. I like the fact that God loves us in spite of who we are, in spite of what we do. We can't do anything that God would not love us. That's hard to comprehend because we think of love as, if you do this, I love you. If you do that, I love you. But it's conditional love, where God's love is unconditional. It's different. All right, we're going to stop there because otherwise we're starting a whole nother section here. And we've only got a couple minutes. So we'll move on to business meeting.